I think sometimes we don't recognize our blessings. And as a congregation, we need to recognize our blessings. We had a family place membership with us this morning. It's a great blessing. And we recognize that even though we are blessed by the Lord, we're going to look at a few passages here in just a moment. There are always those attacks by Satan that tries to undermine the blessings that are there. And for some congregations, it's like taking two or three steps forward and three or four steps back because of the plans and devices of Satan. I want to focus, though, on our blessings this afternoon and just read a few passages of Scripture and then make some points. First of all, we understand that from Christ Jesus, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with Christ. And in the heavenlies means that it comes from God. Not from man, but from God. And that there's not one left out that is not available to us. He has provided all. Someone asked me one time, what are all the spiritual blessings? And I think as we look into God's word, we find more and more, and they are revealed to us through his word. We'll name a few here in just a moment. But they're not blessings unless they do come from God. Matter of fact, they're falsehoods if they don't come from God. And so then we also see in Romans the 4th chapter in verse 8, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not charge sin. That's a blessing. If justice was the foundation of God looking at us, we would be without hope. But rather, it is because of the blessing through Christ Jesus that he looks at us and does not charge us with sin. Because what he is seeing in those that are truly Christians is Christ Jesus in their life. We see over in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, the one comforting us all in our afflictions, for us to be able to comfort those in every affliction that through the comfort by which we ourselves are comforted by God. Paul has a way with words, doesn't he? He uses that word comfort quite often. That's a great blessing that is there, that there is comfort, even in trial and tribulation, persecution that comes upon us. Even in families in which sometimes there's not the recognition of what Jesus said, I don't think that I came to send peace on earth, but a sword. And that as hard as some try to compromise in connection with that, there is comfort if we look through God and not compromise. And that's a great blessing. Galatians 3 and verse 9, so that those of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And the reason being is that Abraham was blessed because he believed God. Not just believed in God, but believed what God said. And those then that are of faith, those that are Christians, are blessed likewise if they believe what God says. Titus 2, 11 through 13, for the saving grace of God has appeared to all, instructing us and having us that having denied ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live discreetly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and appearance of the glory of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We have this blessing here of the appearance of glory, the hope of that glory that comes through Christ Jesus. And again, it's from the heavenlies. It's not based upon man's religion, man's doctrine. It's not based upon traditions of a church, but rather upon God's word. In James 1, 12, 25, and 5, 11, blessed is the man who endures testing, not those that fail, but rather those that endure. And he goes on down and says, because having been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to the loving, to the ones loving him. But the one looking into the perfect law of liberty and continuing in it, this one, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in his doing. And in chapter 5, verse 11, behold, we call those blessed who endure. That's the hard part, I believe, in connection with being a Christian, is that keeping on, that enduring. Continual onslaught by Satan, by the falsehoods of this world, by what people begin to hold more dear than anything else, its relationships, its friendships, and they hold that dearer than looking to Christ Jesus and being true to him. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. He, according to his great mercy, having regenerated us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's not a dead hope, it's a living hope. And the reason being is that the Savior himself is living. He's not a dead Savior. A great blessing that comes from God, from the heavenlies. And then this is really going to be the focus of our lesson this afternoon. Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Considering the issue of their conduct, imitate their faith. Yield to those taking the lead of you and submit, for they watch for your souls, giving an account that they may do it with joy and not with grieving, for this would be unprofitable to you. We are blessed in this congregation because we have elders. And I want you to note some of the reasons that we are blessed in having elders and what it is that these elders do for us. Based upon what is stated there in Hebrews 13, chapter verse 7 and 17. First of all, we have men desirous to take on leadership. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, Paul says, faithful is the word. If anyone reaches out to overship, he desires a good work. There are times in which being an elder is a thankless work because of all the strains, the stress, the pressure, and so forth. But we are so blessed that we have men that says the outcome of leadership by God through his word far outweighs the problems, the stress, the care, and the worries, because they are ever going to be before us. But they have a desire to serve their God and to serve their brethren. We're blessed. We're blessed. You think about this, and those in the military, especially in leadership roles. I read an article one time about Dwight David Eisenhower when he was general of the armies in World War II. And before D-Day, he went out and he talked to his troops. And he said, this is strictly confidential information I'm giving you. You usually wouldn't receive it until tomorrow morning. But I'm going to give it to you now. I give it to you now because I respect you. I give it to you now because you're ready to serve your country. I give it to you now because some of you won't be coming back. This is going to be the turning point in the war. And I think about that in connection with the leadership that is there. They see those that serve. They see those that have issues and problems and so forth. And there are some that won't come back. But they don't withhold anything from them. And that's leadership. It's leadership even in the face of trial and tribulation. And we're blessed having leaders, these elders that we have. They are appointed by the Holy Spirit that's in the heavenlies, that all spiritual blessings come from. And what is meant by that is that the Holy Spirit has made them overseers, not by a miraculous mean, but by the qualifications that are listed in 1 Timothy, the third chapter. And it is there where those are set forth. And they have shown themselves that they possess the tools in order to lead. And it is an awesome responsibility. Wherever you think about it, and they think about it from the standpoint, my work is appointed by the Holy Spirit himself, by God, by deity. And we are so blessed by those that recognize that. That they have a work that is so far above them, but yet they are so willing to carry it out. Our proper response to them is hold them in high esteem. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. But brothers, we entreat you to know those laboring among you and take the lead of you in the Lord, and warning you, even esteem them most high, exceedingly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. There's admonition to us that is there in the last part of this particular verse, those of us that are not elders. Be at peace among yourselves. Follow the lead of the eldership. Follow the lead of the elders. We're blessed. We have elders. We have men that have and are living their lives for the Lord. An elder, I believe, is not recognized by a congregation unless they lived a certain life in order to be recognized. And we have those among us. They ever look to the Lord in their lives. We see in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, but you keep on in what you've learned and were assured of, knowing from whom you learned, and that from a babe you know the Holy Scriptures, those being able to make you wise to salvation through the belief that is in Christ Jesus. And I know that this is written to Timothy, but it reflects the aspect of leadership of elders in congregations. They're ever looking to the Lord for their direction. That's the way that they've come to be recognized by this congregation as leaders, as elders, because they go to the Holy Scriptures. They don't go by feeling. They don't go by what seems right, looks right, feels right. And we mentioned that earlier. But rather, they look to God's Word. And now they give example to us of what a Christian is in the life that they are living. We see in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, give attention to yourself, to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you both deliver yourself and those hearing you. It's an ongoing process. We didn't recognize men that were perfect. We recognized men that desired the work, had the tools to do the work, and were ever ready to grow in that work. And because of that, we are blessed. Our proper response to them is follow their example. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, considering the issue of their conduct, imitate their faith. It wasn't about their opinion. It's not about, they don't lead by their opinion. They lead by the word of God. And our response to them is, we will follow your example from being led by God's word. We have men that love us. They watch out for us with great gravity. And we understand that when we look at the first part of Hebrews 13 and verse 17, yield to those taking the lead of you and submit, for they watch for your souls, giving an account. Think about the pressure now that comes upon these men that we are blessed by. They have their own souls that they need to be concerned about and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. They have their families, their own families, that they worry about, concerned about, teach and direct, and now they take on a whole congregation. And I'll tell you, whenever you look at that, it really expresses the great, awesome responsibility that elders have. And being ready to take that accountability shows just how blessed we truly are. They nurture us, they challenge us to grow, they correct us, they instruct us. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and indeed he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers with a view to the perfecting or the completing of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all may come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a full grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we no longer be infants being blown about and carried about by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and the craftiness to the deceit of error, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him all things, who is the head, the Christ, for whom all the body, having been fitted and compacted together through every assisting bond, according to the effectual working of one measure in each part, produces the growth of the body to the building up of itself in love. And what you have here included in this passage are the pastors or elders, synonymous, and those that are teaching us. That is the pastors and elders, that conjunction there between the two. And we look at that and we see, and it's not about joy in having to correct. It's not about the continual remembrance of instruction that makes them happy, but what makes them happy and their work happy is that we are no longer tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. And there's so much of this out there in the world today, such false doctrine that is there, that is taught, a doctrine of peace and safety. Everything is fine, no problem whatsoever. But we put that beside what God says, and if we look into his word, we see the problems. Our proper response to them is to love them, to love these elders. The last part of verse 17 of Hebrews 13, that they may do it with joy and not with grieving, for this would be unprofitable to you. I'll tell you, we talked about in our leadership class an aspect in connection with this. And just to be very frank, every member here, whenever you placed membership here or whenever you were involved in the appointment of elders, you looked into God's word, used his wisdom, and used your understanding to give approval to the men that we have to be elders. And I've seen in so many congregations where the elders are double-guessed, run down, treated viciously by members. And whenever you place membership here or whenever you were involved in the process of recognizing these men, to do that to them really speaks against your own wisdom. Speaks against your own wisdom. And so when we look at this, we must love them, and we are blessed because we have them. 1 Timothy 5, 19 and 20, that correction that is there, do not receive an action against accusation against an elder unless on testimony of two or three witnesses. And then in Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, the one sinning, rebuke before all that the rest may have their fear. And this quote, when we go back to Deuteronomy 19, of testimony of two or three. We're not to do that. I've seen this accomplished in congregations where there were those that were heretics that would go around two different members and say, do you really think the elders are doing what they should do? And they would get that backbiting started. Don't receive accusation against them. Love them. We have men that allow us to work. They delegate so that we do not become idle. And I go back to the very beginning in the garden in Genesis 2 and verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. God created man not to be idle. He created man and he gave him work to do. Man was not just a puppet. Man was not just placed there to look good, but there was a work for him to do. And I use that in connection with this, that he has a work for us also. God has a work for us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before prepared that we should walk in them. Another aspect of in the heavenlies, as far as blessings are concerned. He made Christians not to be idle, but be workers for him, workers in his vineyard. And when we think about that, the elders involve us in the work. There's that delegation that takes place. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, he leading up out of the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep and the blood of the everlasting covenant, our Lord, perfect you in every good work in order to do his will, doing in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I would imagine that there is delight in the minds of the elders whenever there is someone that comes and says, I would like to do this, or is there something that I can do? And there's delight in that. Matter of fact, that was Isaiah's cry. Here am I, send me. But also, there's delight whenever these elders recognize capability and delegate responsibility and give work to the members of this congregation to do, and they see the growth and the response because they know their people. They know the members. And they don't put more upon them than what they can handle, but they put upon them that which they can do. And we're blessed because of that. Our proper response, thank the Lord and them for doing so. We see over in Philippians 2, 13 through 16, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. This passage of scripture has been used out of context quite often, but we go on and say, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless children of God without the fault in the midst of a crooked generation, even having been perverted among you, who shine in luminaries in the world, holding up the word of life for a boast to me in the day of Christ that I ran not in vain nor labored in vain. He's talking about the way that he was doing his work and teaching them. And really, when we think about it, that is the work of the eldership. They teach us, they instruct us, and they give us work to do. We thank them. We thank the Lord and we thank them. We have men that are desirous to take on this leadership. And again, hold them in high esteem for that. They live their lives as an example for us. Follow their example. We have men that love us. Love them back. And we have men that allow us to work. Thank them. We are greatly blessed from heaven. As Paul addressed the Ephesian elders there at Miletus, he says, therefore, take to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit placed you as overseers, to shepherd the congregation of the Lord and God, which the Lord acquired through his own blood. There are those that make the accusation, man has no right to lead in any capacity whatsoever. And I will tell you that from the very beginning of time, if we will look at it through God's word, God placed leadership among men. And it is so today with elders. And we're a blessed congregation because of it. Maybe those here that are not Christians. No matter what the world says, the call comes to you to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Not just go into the water because you're already saved. Not go into water because you've already said the sinner's prayer. Not go into the water because you want to be involved in a church. But rather for the remission of your sins. And then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of salvation. And we see that in Acts 2, 22 down through 41. There are those that teach, and it doesn't matter what baptism is for, as long as it's baptism. I spoke about that just a little bit this morning. The statement by Brother Dan Shipley that he made in a sermon some time ago, you can't be taught wrong and baptized right. Evidently he's wrong in consideration of what people are saying and what we used to say, there's nothing in the water. Evidently that's wrong, it's all in the water. But that's not true. The purpose is there. If you would love to be a child of God and be under this blessed leadership that we have as elders, be baptized for remission of your sins. And if you have, as a child of God, not lived the way that you should, compromised the truth, took others over Christ Jesus in your life, come back to Him. Ask for the prayers of the saints. We'll pray with you and for you. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come. We stand and sing.